The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 95,000. Bag Milk here. Liam, Rick, Tyler, Dan on the phone.
Episode 246.
296,000.
We should put a phone effect on Dan when he's not in the studio. For like when he's calling into the radio station.
It's like you want to actively make his audio quality worse.
Yeah, and every now and then we'll just cut him out when he like goes under a bridge or something. That can be the effect. Yeah, a little early 2000s vibes.
I'm also literally always on video here.
I can't see
you. Not just the phone.
You could be anywhere.
Yeah, you could be anywhere on earth.
I get to talk to Tyler the entire show. It's awesome.
Pretty much.
Do you not? Well, no, you see, I have a screen share.
Everything is wrestling, Tyler. We've got to make it sound like it's worse than it is.
But in general, I do like Liam's idea of just really taking the audio quality of this podcast and making it terrible.
If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, it'll just be like a little throwback for you.
Well, people have been listening for 9,000 episodes now.
95,000.
95 million.
We've been going on for years.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. I am very old. 206,000. Right? Dog years. All right, we're going to start off with some breaking news that happened today at OilersNation.com. Shout out to Jason Greger for being Scoops Greger today.
I like this.
The Heritage Classic coming back to Edmonton. It started here, hasn't been back since. Here's hoping that next year will not be minus 25 when the boys actually kick off. So the game, according to Greger, is scheduled to be in October of 2023. Weather in
October.
Edmonton.
October.
That's risky.
Does anybody remember the weather in October?
It's risky.
That'll be the best. I mean, they put an outdoor game in LA.
We went to October. So we went to a game in October in Winnipeg a couple years ago.
Yes, we did. It was a long bus ride.
It was a long, long bus ride. It was an even longer wait because there was too much sun.
Yeah, there was a sun delay. 2 hours, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I drank a lot of Bud Lights with old Chris the intern during that 2 hour sun delay.
Buddy, there was a lot of beers to be drank there. And there was a great little Indian place in there, too.
The stadium?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
I went to a hockey rink the other week and it had a Subway in there.
Well, I could get behind that.
Like just a train? Just a train rolled through the station?
Yeah, it was kind of like the Houston Astros Stadium where they have the train go through.
I dig it. This one's
just the Saskatoon Subway. But also, you mentioned I didn't have anything. I can afford it.
A cold cut trio.
But if I was to have something, it'd be the Italian BMT.
$5 footlongs?
I was there for business, Rick, not for pleasure. I was trying to get the rink burger, not the damn Subway.
You get credit for the BMT. That's my go-to.
Didn't Bakersfield play in like a storm 1 year for an outdoor game?
Yeah, they played in, it was raining.
And Griffin, the great Reinhardt, scored the game winner in overtime.
It was like slushy, like you could see as they skated.
Literally
it was, like,
in puddles.
So yes, what you're saying is we're going to be in good shape for October 2023.
Nothing could go wrong.
Heritage Classic is back. The original was November 22nd, 2003. It was chilly. You were there, weren't you, Rick?
I was there. I think I'm still cold.
I didn't get to go, but I had buddies that were there. And they were just like, it was so odd. If you didn't drink your beer fast enough, it was like solidifying.
So this is before like the two beer, three beer max. Dude in front of us, he bought a whole fucking tray. And then halfway through, he starts handing them out because they're all freezing.
I respect it.
Dude, we were in there with like 9 layers. If you guys think it's cold outside right now, do this and be outside for like 7 to 8 hours.
I went to the Grey Cup when he was here, and that was ice cold.
1997.
Yeah. 1997. 2017, oh. Pops.
Whenever I did, I did 1997, and it, the slogan was "Party in your parka."
All pants.
So there you go.
Or no pants and a parka, you know.
And that's where the sink pissing was born.
Yep. So for our friends at Oodle Noodle, new location available or now open in Calgary. By the way, we were there. We drove by it a couple weeks ago. It wasn't open yet, but it is now. Calgary, you're welcome. And our friends at DoorDash, Tyler, what is the delicious debate and how does it pertain to the 2023 Heritage Classic?
Real simple, guys. Give me two parts to this. Part one, who should they play?
I'm going to go, the obvious answer is Calgary.
I agree. That is the obvious one.
If you had Commonwealth Stadium, how many people fit in there? 60,000?
Yep.
60,000-ish people. Oilers, Flames, Battle of Alberta, kick off the season. Everyone's having a good time, except the Flames when they lose and go home sad.
You guys are crazy. What? There's one team that hasn't been in a Winter Classic in like the last 30 minutes, and it's Chicago, so it's always going to be Chicago.
Damn it, you took my
answer. Yeah, or the Penguins, where they always seem to get one.
Or the Bruins, yeah.
Yeah.
The Oilers should play one of them.
Dan, what's your real answer, though?
To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Calgary, but I think the nostalgia in me maybe wants to see another Montreal Edmonton matchup.
That'd be good.
That's what I said too on Northern Nation every day.
See, and on Northern Nation every day, it's obviously Calgary, but Toronto would be intriguing. Matthews versus McDavid outdoors. I feel like there'd be a lot of marketing power for the NHL behind that.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
Although the only thing I would hate is
Saturday 5 PM.
Well, potentially that's part two though. One sec, is the building potentially being like all Leafs or like half Leafs fans, you know?
Yeah.
Like that would be annoying.
I don't feel like it stood out to being all or like a lot of Habs fans that year.
Okay, I guess you would know.
Now that I think about it, right? Like you go to the game on Saturday, whatever. It's half and half, whatever. Now that I think about it, I don't know if there were. If it was like half and half, like you kind of expect right now. I don't know who I want to see though. I think you have to, it has to be a marquee matchup in terms of player-wise. I'd like the Montreal idea, but I don't know if we can... I don't know if they're going to be the right team at the time.
Sorry, Rick, do you remember who Calgary played in their Heritage Classic? Was it Montreal as well?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they had their...
Was it?
In Saskatoon, McDonald's, right?
They had their McDonald's jerseys on, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Terrible. Yes. Okay, yeah. I thought it was Montreal. Interesting. Weird that Montreal did that both.
So,
well, no, like, they have like the... They had the Stanley Cup Final 2 years? Right? 86, they... 86 is Montreal win. 88 was Calgary win, right? They played each other both times, I believe.
What would be the most random one? Can you imagine if the NHL just hit us with an absolute curveball? They're like, hey.
Carolina.
Arizona Coyotes.
The Islanders are coming.
What if they did Oilers Carolina? Now that I said it, it kind of makes a little bit more sense.
But it's not like it's like the 20-year anniversary of that cup final.
What?
It's close.
It is.
It's just like, congrats, Oilers fans. You got a date with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And everybody's like, oh.
Okay, so here's
four. What is it? How much did Tyler pay you to say that?
Hey, oh, yeah, I forgot you like the...
There's four teams we can probably rule out because they also have outdoor games in 2023.
With the NHL, I don't feel like that matters.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Boston, Washington, and Carolina.
I told you, Chicago. That's the answer.
Been in one for a while.
Do we get an alumni game too? Is that in the article?
That was mentioned, yes. Of a given, right?
Is it?
So,
because it's a heritage game, not an outdoor game. Like, it's not just an outdoor classic. A heritage.
But even
game,
those stadium series games, they'll usually do an alumni game.
Do they?
Yeah. The other question: the Oilers when they played the Jets, that was a Sunday afternoon, correct?
It was an afternoon. That's for damn sure.
October 23rd, 2016. Don't know. That's all.
Just to mention from the article there from Gregor, it does say to expect a alumni game, but to expect a younger wave of alumni players like Ryan Smith, Doug Waite, Jason Smith, and Dwayne Rollison.
That was a Sunday.
You kind of have to at this rate.
Gretzky doesn't put on skates anymore.
Gretz, Mess, you know, some of those boys aren't exactly in.
Oh, Mess could probably still bring it.
Oh, buddy.
With all those subs he's eating? Come on. Yeah.
Some of the Euros have put on a couple of pounds. I don't know if you've seen our friends Esa Tikkanen and Yari Curry.
Big boys.
Hey, get out there.
They live a good life over where they're at.
Good way to kick it off.
But what I was getting to was sometimes they like to do Sunday afternoon outdoor game or whatever. Put this thing, just don't overthink it, NHL. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Oilers Flames. Easy, right? Mm. You run no risk of a sun delay. Which happens when you try to get all cutesy and be like, ooh, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Do they usually announce the opponent as they announce the game?
Yes.
They do? Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they...
Well, I don't know. It should be.
Oh, that's a good idea, Liam. They should wait until the last second to tell us who it's going to be and then just unveil them right at the last
day
minute.
Before.
Walk out.
I was going to say wait and see if Vancouver get Bedard.
Do McDavid Bedard?
McDavid?
It'd be like his fifth NHL game in this outdoors.
Hell yeah, walking it that way.
Do you think it has to be a Canadian team that they play? Would that be the ideal?
No, I don't think it has to be.
I think it'd be dope if the Rangers were here.
See, I think because it's a heritage classic, not like a stadium series. They want to brand it as some sort of historical rival. So the Rangers, in that sense, might make sense. But I don't think we're going to see Vegas.
Bruins.
Oh, no, so then in that case, you could say the New York Islanders then, if you're going that route. Sense,
yeah. Well, there's Islanders, Bruins, Flyers. They always have all 80s ties to our Stanley Cups.
Hasn't every Heritage Classic been two Canadian teams, though?
I was just going to say, I think when they branded it, I think the Stadium Series can include anybody, and that the Heritage Classic was designed to just be for Canadian teams.
I got them right here.
You guys so talk
hit us, Liam. What do you got?
The last one was Winnipeg, Edmonton, obviously. Then it was Ottawa, Vancouver in 2014. And then before Buffalo that was Montreal, Toronto. Calgary in 2011. Then it was Montreal, Edmonton in 2003.
And there was a Calgary, Montreal mixed in there as well. But
was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, the Calgary and Winnipeg it was in 2019.
Calgary and Winnipeg.
That was the second last one. Oh, no. Why are they isn't so always? Because Toronto played Buffalo last year.
And I was just going to say that was the first one.
Austin Matthews got suspended. Didn't he get suspended?
Yeah, you're right. You were correct for the cross check or whatever.
Unbelievable.
Unlike Dahlin.
Can't believe they gave that guy an MVP for that.
He's a poor role model.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cheater. Connor would never get suspended.
No.
How about this for a fun little twist? They have the alumni game, obviously the big game. What if they brought up Bakersfield and did a Bakersfield versus Calgary Wranglers AHL game the day before?
That'd be cool.
Or the day after.
Either way, I'd love that.
I think that'd be neat, right? Get an extra game in there. I bet you we see Oil Kings Hitman as well. If they're going to set all this up, I bet you they get as many games in as they can.
Do the Oil King Hitman on Sunday day for families. Do the AHL Friday night.
For us to just go get fucking hammered at. Well, just get so drunk.
I'm gonna need the weekend off work.
Yeah, that's going to be, if that's how they put it together, if you got an AHL game on Friday, that'd the NHL smart. Game on Saturday, and then the dub game on Sunday. That's a 3-day shift you got to accommodate.
That's fair.
My liver's ready for it.
We've done that before.
Hey, wouldn't be the first time.
Cold outside, right? So it keeps it in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It offsets it. You'll know pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Everything but the wallet is ready.
Well, that's a problem, Dan. Uncle MasterCard always wants his money back, and he charges interest, that motherfucker.
Hey, we can start putting things away right now, though.
Yep. Start collecting empties?
Yeah. Collecting now.
Exactly. Collect some empties.
Liam's always got nice socks on. We start taking pics of them dogs.
Yep. Christmas special today. I actually had some bad news on the socks. I was going to wait till Friday on this one, but I figured I would just get this off my chest now. I lost the other Lucky Oilers sock. So now I only have one Lucky Oilers sock. There's not a pair anymore.
So we're the world is sitting here pointing fingers at all sorts of players. They're pointing fingers at Ken Holland. They're pointing fingers at Woodcroft.
I know.
When really the issue is you and your inability to keep your lucky socks.
Yep. You should have seen. It was an absolute disaster at Harbin Manor today when I pulled out my laundry and was putting it away. I don't know what happens to the other sock, but I had four loose socks today.
They're all missing their fellows.
Got a bunch of pending or a bunch of UFAs.
Pending UFAs.
Are any of them close enough to match? You know?
No, they're a variety. I've got some black ones. I got obviously my Oilers one. I was missing another Christmas sock. They are all over the place.
Because if you look at my socks right now, I'm just mixing and matching. Well, I'm going out rogue out here.
Yeah, I
don't like to do it.
I don't like to either.
I don't like to do it either. And they're not even the same color, Rogue.
Oh, I can't do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's bad. I just noticed something else.
Uh-oh.
Rick and I have the same shoes.
Oh, we are rocking the same shoes today.
Yep.
It's well, close.
It's called style, people. Look it up. They are exactly the same.
No, they're not.
They're not. The Nike swoosh is different.
Yeah, there's plenty of spot the differences, big guy.
Look the same to all the listeners.
If you listeners want to participate in whose feet are different, check out Liam's Wiki Feet page. Did everybody go? Who's your ideal opponent?
I didn't.
Liam, hit me.
Calgary.
Yeah, it's the answer.
Unless Bedard goes to Vancouver, I would honestly like that a lot.
It would just what about cool. a Winnipeg? It's a
great way to market it. What about, what was that then?
Winnipeg.
We already did it.
Like, but like going now, having the home and away of that series.
I like Calgary. Calgary's the best.
I think it's the option. So Winnipeg could be three.
It's a good storyline, right? But don't you think the team itself would match up really well against a team like Ottawa?
The Oilers?
Yeah.
Just
that youth, like that.
Yeah, we always beat the shit out of them.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
I'm just thinking about the spectacle of the weekend.
Yeah.
And if you stick a BOA in there, that place will be a madhouse.
And I think, like, we kind of discussed here, there's multiple angles on marketing this in, like, a three-day event.
I do like the three-day event with Edmonton-Calgary, such a thing.
Yep. Hit us up, ON Radio Podcast. I want to know, who is the ideal opponent for the Oilers to face at the Heritage Classic? Again, Jason Greger broke the story today at OilersNation.com. It's coming back to Commonwealth October 2023. Start saving your shekels, everybody.
It's coming.
Start home. Hydrating. Drink some water now. It's going to be a long weekend.
It's coming home.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to say that.
Are you prepared for Saturday, Liam?
I am.
I'm your ready. People versus my people.
Mono y mono.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go. I got my outfit picked out.
What are you wearing? I'm going nothing.
Well, I'm at a family event that day, so I have to put a couple of things on.
There you go. The delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Go check out the new location in Calgary. If you're feeling lazy, if you're feeling like you don't want to go outside or cook today on a Tuesday because it's 2,000 degrees below zero, our friends at DoorDash will accommodate. Liam, fresh one, please.
Ding dong.
Let's get to some rougher news. I heard you guys were talking about the slow starts today on Oilers Nation Every Day. Last night was another edition of those. The Oilers lost 3-2 to the Caps. The score was not really indicative of how that game went. Shout out to Stuart Skinner. Tyler, where do you want to start on the slow starts?
Ryan Rashog tweeted out a really interesting kind of chart earlier today, and it's from the folks at Sport Logic. Edmonton in the first period. Goals, 29th. Expected goals, 15th. Shots, 22nd. Scoring chances, 18th. Slot shots, 26th. High danger chances, 13th. Goals against, 18th. Shots against, 27th. Expected goals against, 18th. Scoring chances against, 21st. Slot shots against, 24th. High danger chances against, 22nd. Not a single one of those numbers, with the exception of high danger chances, is in the top half of the league. Terrible.
Not great.
They're awful.
Not ideal.
And I don't get it. I have long been a believer that it is not a head coach's job at the NHL level to motivate his players for all 82 regular season
and
games.
Before you go on, we can't even, like, I don't understand how people are blaming Woodcroft on this right now. How many coaches have had this issue in a row?
Everybody gets blamed right now. If you take an Oilers paycheck right now, you're taking some of the blame.
Yeah, and that's fair. And, like, if they would have tied that game late yesterday and won it, we'd be sitting here singing their praises, probably.
No, I think you'd still be frustrated.
But
I'd be frustrated.
That's a good point.
We'd be sitting here going,
Stu stole it.
There's still 40-some-odd shots, and it's... So I heard Woodcroft say today that the 5-on-5 shots were relatively close by the end of the game.
Ish. And they still trailed.
Yeah, but then it was a lot of it was power play time, that their power play just... ran us.
They had 17 power play shots.
That's incredible.
Okay, well, that's also then a comment that on is your also penalty kill sucking ass.
100%. 100%. Like, I'm just, maybe that's like the new age coaching that you try and put them positive spins on everything and try and keep everyone's spirits up or whatever.
That's always been Woodcroft.
I think we would like, and I don't think we actually want it as a permanent coach, but you would like the guy to like, throw the garbage can against the wall once in a while.
Or have that guy
just,
like...
It would just make ourselves feel better, like inside my own chest. It'd be like,
but
it make me feel like
do you think there's anyone? I think it's fine to have the coach like this, but I think you need to have someone in that room who's vocal in a firm way. And I think maybe... Like, is that maybe part of the issue? Is that like they're not getting jacked up before the games?
And I think that's like that's something Evander Kane brought to this lineup. We saw it in training camp where he's fucking around with guys and he's mixing it up. And I think he probably is part of that. Mike Smith probably was part of that last year.
Guaranteed.
But like, to your point, there's no guy. Like, I remember the videos when Rocky Thompson was the coach of the Roadrunners or whatever it was at the time. And he would be screaming at everybody, not in a bad way, but just getting everyone fired up.
Well, you see all those videos of like the, when they're going over the starting lineups in the dressing room?
Yeah.
And we've seen like Biz came out and did it for, I forget who he did? Maybe he did it for the Oil Kings.
For the Oil Kings, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you've seen them all the time, right?
But Reeves is doing it for the Wild.
So I know I sat here 2 weeks ago and said I don't think we should add him. I'm going to take a L on that one. I think we should have added him. I think Revo on this team would be an interesting addition.
But how can no one in that locker room be like, I'm going to go be that guy today?
Because it's not natural in their personality. It has to be natural in your personality. If you're trying too hard, no one's going
to
like...
Nah, man. I think if you're a leader on this team, you need to look at the slow starts and be like, that's a reflection of my team, my group. I'm a leader. I need to go out of my way and do something to try to get these guys going.
But I think some players who try and do it on the ice and they try and get too fancy, hence the Leon giveaway in goal one, that you have too many players. And then, they just try. Like, we need a character. We need someone who just it oozes that where you're trying to, like, rein them in all the time instead of cattle prodding them to get them going.
Dan, what were you going to
say? I was going to say, I think for for Tyler, you're kind of hitting it on the head or you're kind of skirting around. I think the issue for the leadership group on this team, it's a lot of guys that are just do as I do, not as I say, and that's fine. But like you said, Tyler, you and like you said, Rick, you almost just need a guy that's willing to just fire off around, do an office shot in the, you know, into the area and get everybody just kind of shocked and rattled. Because I've seen, obviously I posted on Hockey Fights the Reeves hype up. And that's fine, but like that motivates, you know, 50% of the room. The other half of the room still has to do its own job. Yeah, my big issue is that we haven't seen, when's the last time we saw this team do a players only meeting? Like,
it might have happened.
We don't need to know.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. We haven't heard about it, but you think with this media and the way that we've gone through coaches, we haven't heard about them very much. And that to me is more of a systematic thing where it's just that's where you're speaking to, Tyler, about needing a leader that just says enough is enough, puts their foot down and just stomps for a minute.
I think I guess on the other side of it too, Draisaitl's come out multiple times and addressed that the team has slow starts. There's no way he's just saying that to the cameras.
No.
Like he's obviously going into the room and trying to give that leadership too. And maybe this team is just, how do you say it? Like, obviously we lost Keith and Smith last year. We're good veterans. And maybe they just didn't really learn enough from it on how to juice guys up. Or maybe just guys don't respond to it.
But I think
maybe there's a guy in the room doing all that shit.
I think you have like secondary tier guys who are like, that guy gets going and they're like, oh yeah. And, you know, you get kind of get behind them, but they don't have any of those fire starters in themselves.
It's just like, it's not in their DNA.
Some of these guys, it isn't. Like, it's
like I'm talking about as a team to start well.
They're
like,
just so calm and relaxed that they're like, even if you get down a goal, they're like, nah, not a big deal. We're the best players in the world. We'll come out and score another one.
But that's almost what I'm getting at, where like McDavid and Draisaitl are like, all right, we're going to go feel this bad boy out for the first 10 minutes.
And then
the rest of the team follows that. Yeah. And it's like, man, okay, on one end, it's like, hey, if you're Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, recognize that and be like, okay, when we go out there and feel things out, the team follows. So let's be fired up for once.
But I don't think it's not in them. So, I mean, this takes me back to like when Wayne Gretzky was coaching the Coyotes. There was a story of a player that used to play there. He came back and he told a friend and he's like, he got shut out and Gretz came back in the dressing room and was like losing his shit. He's like, how the fuck can't you guys score a goal? Obviously for him, it's just so fucking easy, right? And the rest of the guys are going, well, and Gretzky, you know, he's looking at these guys going, how are you guys in the NHL? You can't score a fucking goal. Like, how is this possible? So I think you just don't realize, they need to like, those two don't understand what it's like to be a regular person.
But, and then also on the other hand, I kind of go, if you're on the bottom half of this roster, how do you not look in the mirror and be like, I'm not Connor McDavid. I'm not Leon Draisaitl. What they're trying to do is score goals. What I need to do in the first period is create some energy, hit people, get pucks on net. Because their bottom six doesn't even put pucks on net.
Yes. I agree. But our bottom six right now, and so this is not me trying to come up with excuses right now, but their bottom six right now should be three guys, not six. right? You got six guys who are playing, like, we've got three guys in our roster right now playing forward who, when we're healthy, are hanging out in California.
They're in Bakersfield, yeah.
That's fair. Like, I'm looking at
this. So there's
right
a
now.
Little bit there, but still, we need to do, they need to be better.
Right now, the Oilers' bottom six, all of them, are being outscored by three defensemen: Tyson Barrie, Darnell Nurse, and Evan Bouchard. They're contributing nothing. Mm. And like Tyler's point, if you're not going to score, like, I get it, you're not going to score every day, but like, go hit something, get in the mix, start a scrum, snow the goalie, piss somebody off, have a pulse.
And the only guy I think that I noticed doing that ever, and he hasn't played, he's played one game this year, was Benson. Just because I think he has that like Northside Edmonton to him, and that's like playing when I played minor hockey. That's just what it was. You know, you're hacking and whacking in Division III just because that's what the game is like, and that's just who you are. When he gets out there, he's always trying.
He's trying. Like, yeah, he's mouthy. Something. He's whacking guys.
Yeah, he's in the goalies, and you know, he ain't a big dude, but he's there all the time, and I wish a lot of other guys had that same mentality.
And last game, I don't know if it translated well on TV. I don't know what you saw from your end of the rink, Rick, but down on my side where the Oilers attacked twice, there was a little bit of, like, the Caps were grabbing them. The Caps were kind of whacking them and chirping. Drysdale and Carlson were going back and forth. But then, like, that was it. And for the Oilers, it almost felt like, oh, yeah, I'll chirp you. And then now we're done. No, man, go steamroll them next time. Go out of your way.
I think so here's an example that if this happened to the Oilers, they would not respond the same way. Last week, I think it was, Andre Vasilevsky ran over. And it wasn't one Tampa Bay Lightning player that jumped in there. It was everybody in the pile. And the Oilers don't have that right now. They're not playing for each other.
They stand there and they look around and go, all right, is anyone going to do something about that?
They could be surrounded by five guys and there'll be two kind of pushing it. Like, I want everyone in the pile.
They sort of, I mean, when the Neon Connor, Darnell jumped
Nurse jumped in, right away. But Nurse had to come jump in because Puljujarvi was standing there going,
yeah.
I want somebody's first punch to be a drop kick when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. It just feels like they lack like a team identity almost.
An energy, an
or their or this, their team identity is 97-29 and the rest of the team doesn't feel like they're a part of the identity.
I don't really give a shit if guys are taking penalties in scrums for like punching over a pile or something like that, because then that scrum probably isn't going to happen too often after.
Yes. Yep.
Well, like the Oilers are just like last night, it's Nick Dowd snowed Stuart Skinner. Call it what happened, if he did it or not. And I know they scored, but also you just plowed all over your goalie and no one did anything about it.
They got outworked.
And also, that was a fourth line.
Yeah, they got outworked everywhere.
Every single bit. Fucking embarrassing.
Where I was getting at with like the chirps after the whistle and the grabbing, tugging, and poking, it seemed like Washington had a mindset because they've been losing a lot where they were like, if we're going to lose, we're going to be pricks and we're going to get under their skin. And they did.
Yes.
And the Oilers were just kind of like, oh, hey, that's not nice, man.
Personalities. And I don't think we do.
Like, learn it. It's how you're going to be successful. Benson's trying to learn it.
I agree with you 1,000%. They need to somehow figure out to bring it out of themselves. Yeah. But you got guys like TJ Oshie out there.
Yeah.
We don't have anyone. And I mean, he's not really that big of a shit disturber. We don't have anyone equal to him.
Eight shots last night for TJ Oshie.
That's wild.
Yeah, he had
shots. They ran out. Like, there's. So I know everyone talks about what we need. We need puck mover this, but we need a guy who can stop the fucking cycle because they run us.
The Oilers' defensive
coverage. And
they know
what we're doing. And we don't communicate. There's no communication on that ice. Like, I sit close enough that I can hear them.
I'm fucking with you on that,
too. So there was a play where the puck was going behind the net from hash mark to hash mark. And the high forward yelled at the defenseman, go, 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 go. Like, pinch, pinch, pinch. And then that meant, go down there, and I'll cover your spot. And that's exactly what I did. And they kept going. We don't do that at all.
So I think a good example of that is on Saturday when they played Montreal. It was the second goal that was rebounded out by Skinner and went straight to the guy and he tapped into the net. CC got beat on the boards and Hyman was in the middle of the ice. And you could clearly tell there was no communication between the two because neither of them, like what should have happened was CC got beat. Hyman should have, like he did look over and didn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
if CC's like, fucking get him or something. I don't know what you say, but there was nothing. And clearly that happened on the ice.
And this has so been, evident. I've noticed this for a long time.
One thing that sticks out to me on the defensive side is that the Oilers are cheating for offense.
Yes.
They're flying the zone so early that it drives me insane. You can't have like, you'll have your outlet pass on the hash marks on the boards. The defenseman will hit him with a pass, but then what? The centerman's already
not even there.
The centerman's up at center ice already. The defenseman kind of circles back. The guy's got two options, either try and dangle the forechecker, which isn't going to work at the NHL level, off the glass or give it away. They're not playing simple defense at all.
So is it a thing right now? Because I noticed yesterday is that our third forward is hanging out their blue line. We could have the puck behind our net and he's hanging out their blue line like a power play.
They're cheating for offense.
So that first goal, the Eller goal, pass to Draisaitl. Okay, so Nurse is in the corner, makes the pass to Draisaitl. That is good. Draisaitl turns it over on his backhand, but right as he's in the motion to pass, McDavid is fully going up ice already, right? Because he ends up being totally out of the play, which is fine. Your center is expecting the winger to make that pass, so you jump up. But the issue was Cody Ceci mimicked McDavid. As McDavid turned to go up ice, Ceci started going up ice. And then what happened? It goes to Eller. Ceci's already passed the last capital who's hanging back in the zone who picks off the play. And because Ceci, like you said, Bag Milk, cheating for offense, Eller has a clear lane to the net.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody involved in that play has like some accountability there. But we
team
just
team defense would team be Cody Ceci going, all right, Connor is going full speed, or he's about
what
to be.
What the hell am I going to do to help out?
Nothing.
That's what I mean.
Exactly. Right? Like, so play your position.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they can't recognize this. I mean, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure Woodcroft's pointing it out, but like, this has been happening all year. They're flying the zone so early. Mm-hmm. If you commit to defense, the offense is going to come. It's just, it makes logical sense. But instead, they're coughing it up, not respecting the blue lines, which I love to say on this podcast, and it's ending up in the back of the net.
They're just, like you said, they're too far spread apart. It's too easy for the defense to try and get in the way of a pass, or even the passes at that point are, you know, off the ice. They're not tape to tape, and you're losing possession.
There's no support anywhere.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this up when we were talking about their slow starts.
One sec, though, Tyler, because first I want to tell you about our friends at Tourism Jasper.
Mm.
They've got deals everywhere. If you go to jasper.travel, you can see the one I'm looking at Marmon Basin right now, including discounts on your lift passes. Save 50% off a regular adult, senior, student, and youth lift tickets every day, all season long with no blackout dates. Check them out at jasper.travel. I'm looking at the snow report and it's looking real good. The knob chair is now open. Head on out to Jasper. Tyler?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. We were talking about slow starts. Mm-hmm. And I can understand it's a Monday, middle of December against Washington, team not in your conference. If your starts are bad for that game, but it's not like a recurring problem, then it's kind of like, okay, you got off to a bad start. That's fine. This team... And you mentioned how with Woodcroft, like Tippett's team started terribly. McClellan teams were bad starters always. In the playoffs last year, they played 16 games. How many times do you think they both outscored and outshot the opposition in the first period?
So outscored and outshot.
Yeah, both.
Out of 16 games.
16. So I look at that and go, that's how many times you thoroughly outplayed the other team. You outshot him and you outscored him. You say three?
I'm going to go, five.
Dan, you got a guess?
I would say it's probably four or five.
Two.
Damn it,
That was your pre-show guess.
Yeah.
That was your pre-show guess where you said, I don't even know the question.
Damn it.
Two times, man. So you were in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Rogers Place is rocking. The anthem's crazy. You're all fired up, and you still start like shit. 14 out of 16. What percent would that be? I don't even know.
But most.
It's minimal.
14 at 1 and 8.
There you go. 1 and 8.
Actually.
Which is...
That is not a percentage.
8%.
But we're almost there.
1 in 8.
Like, that's 12.5%.
They almost need to come up with a rule for themselves or something. You know what I mean? Like, first shot or first shift, you need a shot on goal.
Dude, I'd be coming out
you need
there,
that kind of thing.
Every first period, I want 20 shots on goal.
What were the two games? I know we spoke about it, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I think one of them was game 7 against
and then the other one was game 4 against
Calgary. Yeah. Yeah, 12.5.
And if you think back to those games, those were games that the Oilers completely dominated. Because if I'm remembering correctly, game 4 against Calgary, I'm pretty sure I ended up at the point after and very, very hammered. That was the Nuge game, I think.
Yeah, when Markstrom passed it to Nuge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won. And that was the Rasmus Anderson goal, too.
Yes.
What a moment.
Hate that guy.
They were good in the first period there. And I remember sitting up at Rogers being like, oh, wow, they got off to a good start. And look what happened. You were three
They were good in the first period, and they were able to make up for a mistake because they were so good in the first period.
Yep. So I'm going to ask you all. Rick had a little rule there. I'd be shooting for 20 shots on net in the first period. Obviously, like, whether or not that happens. But that's a nice goal. I like it. Better than four. Mm. Liam, if you had a rule to set for the Oilers right now, what would it be for you?
I think, like, 12 to 15 is pretty respectable.
It doesn't even have to be shots either, just in general. Like, if you had a rule for the Oilers to start their game, this is what Coach Liam wants.
Coach Liam wants you not to take the first penalty of the game.
Amazing
every
one.
Every single game.
Great. It's like something crazy, like 21 out of 26 or something
it
like that.
It's unbelievable. And, like, there was one, it was Puljujärvi in Chicago where he got, like, his stick in and stuff like that. I can kind of forgive that one a little bit because he's like just trying to
put his arm down on the stick too. He knew
stuff like that. Like, it's excusable. These other ones, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why is that even your first instinct to do that?
If I was the coach, I'd be saying every player in the first period, when you step on the ice, you do not come off until you have a shot on goal or a hit. That should be your goal every shift. You go out there and say, I'm either getting a shot on net or a hit. If you're at the end of your shift, puck on your stick, throw it on net, get off the ice.
Ryan McLeod is going to have some long ass shifts.
I got one even better.
Coach Dan, what do you got?
McDavid and Draisaitl do not see a second of ice time until the team has 5 shots on net.
They're not playing until the third period sometimes.
Force the team, like you guys talked about, you guys laid it out really well about wanting McDavid and Draisaitl to be fired up. I guarantee you, McDavid and Draisaitl will be fired up and itching to go if at 6 minutes to the first period you still didn't have your 5 shots.
You know what? I'm going to tail on that a little bit. What about this for an idea? Who are your 3 most physical players? Brad Malone, Klim Kostin, and who would you throw on the right side there?
Janmark, maybe?
Janmark, maybe. Just every game, McDavid or Draisaitl starts on the first shift opening puck drop.
Yamo.
Yamo. Whoever down the middle, Malone, Kostin, and say, you guys are starting. I want 3 hits first shift. And then just see if that changes things up a little bit. Maybe that just changes the vibe of the game. If one of them lays a big hit, the other two guys are playing physical. They get off the ice, and McDavid and Draisaitl are heading out their second, being like, all right, here we go. Those guys set the tone. Let's keep the ball rolling.
What if you do the flip where you tell McDavid and Draisaitl they need to set the tone?
Yeah, they won't.
They did it against LA, and we got a goal.
Yeah, remember the McDavid hit on Durzi? Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first periods.
Yeah, and Draisaitl did it before too.
So like this is one of the... I still think this team wakes up a little bit here after Christmas-ish because of that type of a thing where they're like, hey, now the games fucking mean something.
But
where
they didn't show up in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, in those situations, yes. But I mean, you just said, like, Connor's out there hitting. You'll start to see that out of those two guys the deeper we get into the season. But it does not explain why the next 8 forwards can't do it right now.
It's really hard for me to reconcile.
It's when you have the puck. So if we're getting those hits, that means we don't have the puck.
Last night, again, I'm glad you brought that up, Rick. Last night against the Washington Capitals, they had the puck way more than the Oilers.
Dude, they just fucking ran.
And like, yet they
cycled us. We couldn't do anything.
Out-hit the Oilers by a nearly 2-1 margin.
Because we can't stop a fucking cycle. They use their hands to try. They don't put their whole fucking body in front of them. They don't, like, if there's a guy coming past you, do the old Rob Blake thing where you stick your ass out and fucking and hip check him.
Or the Jordan Binnington.
They are not going to fucking push by you at that point. You try and put your arm out or a chicken wing, he's going to blow past you. And Binnington, well, he just does the arm thing. So I want these guys throwing their ass into every fucking hit.
Okay, so who's, is that not also on the coaches a little bit to change up the system? If something's not working, and evidently, shit's not working. And maybe they have. Like, I don't obviously know all that stuff because I don't see it on the ice that well. But, like, if it's repeat after pre, I'm not even talking about the first period starts. Like, you said they can't break up the cycle.
Yep.
Isn't that on the coach to then also find something to fix that?
And sort but of I think so. They probably sit there and coach them in practice. Like, hey, this is what you do. But it's during the game. They need to go out there and do it. A dude like CeCe, he's a big man. You can't let these guys push him around.
Yep.
Bouchard needs to learn how to be a little more aggressive. He's a big dude.
He was aggressive last night.
Nurse has to pull it in a little bit to be able to do his thing. Because when you're overstretching, when you're doing too much, he's reaching. You're not that same strength.
I want to talk about Evan Bouchard getting benched in the third period last night. To me, like...
Dan has his hand up.
Sorry, Dan. I can't see you.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I was just going to say further to Liam's point. No, I lost it. It's gone. I'm sorry.
Evan Bouchard last night took a rough penalty, cross-checking up near the blue line. Didn't make any sense whatsoever in the context of the play. I like physical play, but like pick your spots a little better. Jay Woodcroft benched him afterwards because they got the game winner on that shortly after. What do you guys think about Evan Bouchard riding the pine in the third?
I didn't like it. Okay, so the penalty, bad penalty. Sure.
Awful penalty.
But if you want to start playing the game of you made a play that negatively impacted the game, Drysdale's giveaway in the first horrendous. CeCe's registered.
There is that game gets played with seniority.
Well, there's also like the giveaway by Drysdale was bad, but he was the play by Bouchard was just dumb and completely avoidable.
So yeah, Leon was trying to make offensive plays. That stuff's gonna happen.
So did Bouchard get benched for the penalty or the Protost Dowd goal?
So when I watched the video,
is Jay Woodcroft in this podcast? Twitter,
it does not show the start of it. Like it looks like Bouchard's too far to the boards as opposed to the middle because the whole sliding on it, the whole diving thing, I'm fine with. Like you're keeping the guy to his backhand at that point. Great. Actually, pretty clever on them to drop pass it, and he gets up, turns around, and the puck's being shot on the net. So at that point, I don't know what he's supposed to do.
Yeah,
but maybe there was a mistake at their blue line where he was definitely seemed to be a little too far to the one side.
See, because that's actually almost the exact breakdown I gave on Oilers Nation every day was the slide he made. He hustled back.
Yeah,
he was the only D man back.
Yeah.
He can't see Dowd behind him. He slides like you said. The only move Protas has at that point in Bouchard's mind is. He can only go to his backhand. He's got a backhand or a flip into Skinner.
Yeah.
Barry didn't get back after Barry's the one who kicked the puck directly to the Capitals, which sparked the odd man rush the other way, and then Barry didn't get back to take the high guy. So it was weird to me that was Bouchard's last shift when like that goal was more of a Barry mistake than a Bouchard.
I want to go back a little bit further and see if he was out of position at first, so maybe that was
the And you're right, the penalty's dumb. You can't take that.
This is an awful penalty.
And he's done it before. He did it against, was that the Rangers or whatever?
That's my guess is probably why he got it.
Probably.
And he's in his, second year, whatever. You can do that to a guy in his second year. You can't do that to Leon. You can't do... CeCe, you're probably not going to do that
to CeCe. You could do it to Tyson Barry, though.
That's fair.
I don't see why not. Why can't you?
Why?
Yeah.
You just...
I think if you're Woodcock, you'd be worried about burning a bridge.
Yeah, you just can't do that. And I think if you were coach, I don't think you'd be able to... Like, you just... Some guys are almost untouchable in that type of... getting in that kind of trouble. Like you just can't.
If you were telling me that Ken Hitchcock wouldn't bench one of his star players if he was behind the bench.
There's a dude doing that stuff down in 3 hours south of us right now, and it's not going over so well. So I think there's just that.
That could be.
So
Also, what happened in Vancouver just the day before?
Dan, go.
I know that this is our job, and like we're trying to surmise something where there's no writing to really tell us why Woodcroft did it. But like at the same time, Woodcroft could have just had a conversation with Bouchard that was, "Do not go down on your belly," and then Bouchard goes down on his belly, so he benches him. I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm just saying that there's a certain amount of context here that we kind of forget because we're not watching these guys day in and day out working together. But like, you know, I don't necessarily agree to Rick's point that Nurse is like omnipotent to any kind of criticism, but I do think that relationship,
you can't give the same type of
I think it's just that relationship between the coach and the players, and he knows who he's willing or who he's able to bench to send the right message to. And maybe he sends it to Nurse and it isn't received the same way. So I don't know, like he's still our head coach.
That could have been Dave Manson's choice too, 100%. As opposed to Woodcroft, could have been. Right?
I think one thing
that has bothered me a few times is sometimes the players that come on off the bench are weird. Like the New Jersey one's a big one. Like after they score, like it was like
you'll have a really good shift, and then it goes to the fourth line or something.
Yeah, stuff like that, and also the response to younger players also performing well. Like Holloway was rewarded a little bit yesterday by playing in the last minute or whatever of the game as the extra man, right? And he had a really good game, but it also bugs the shit out of me how only last week Evan Bouchard was scoring the game winner for the Oilers and like scoring two goals against the Rangers when Holloway was also on the ice for all three, and neither of them were really rewarded for it. And now here we are so many games later. Like, I feel like I understand the idea of like you not wanting to piss off your superstars and stuff like that, but also I'm not saying bench Draisaitl by any means. And maybe there is the conversation like Dan said, but also like what does it really show to the rest of the team?
That's what I was wondering.
You're just going to bench Bouchard after the mistake when three other veterans are the reason why three goals went in the net.
That's a great point.
The response is not good. And for a coach like Jay Woodcroft, who has been the assistant coach in the NHL for a long time, he's not like a rookie to the league, and also was a coach in Bakersfield and had a lot of success with young players, with these same young players, it's not the right message to send to bench him like that. Like, get him back out there almost and be like, okay, go do what, show us what you can do, like make up for your mistake. And I don't think the goal was his fault.
Either. Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, I think that, Liam, you made a great point. And I think that just going a step further, you know, you've got all of us defending Bouchard on this podcast. Well, all the guys that were watching Evan get benched, they know that they weren't having a great game and that they could have just as easily been benched. And so I would at least hope that Woodcroft is hoping that it's going to inspire these veteran guys to figure their shit out and play better in place of Bouchard, because then going back to what Rick said, benching a veteran guy sends a different message.
Maybe it's even like a confidence thing too, and doing it to Bouchard isn't a good thing. Like, he's been struggling all season.
Yeah,
finally in a bit of a groove too.
Also,
as well.
Like, as much as you maybe want to teach a lesson to Bouchard, you do also need to win the game, and Evan Bouchard's the defenseman that gives you the best chance of tying that game up. Not having to roll Philip Broberg out on his offside for two or three shifts, like, what?
The length of the benching is, I didn't have a problem with him parking him for a couple of shifts.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
See, but like, I also would have parked Leon for a shift.
Shorty for the period.
Yeah. I would have thrown Connor out there with, yeah, I would have been like, you're playing a shift with Kostin and Yamamoto go.
It's not benching Leon. It's nothing like that. It's just parking him like, hey, man. And then it just kind of like evens out the accountability.
Yeah.
He's still your star, but then everybody knows like, if you fuck up, you're gonna miss one.
Yeah.
We used to have a coach that would do that back then. Like,
light a fucking media storm too.
At some point, fuck him. Yeah, that's right.
That could only create fucking extra issues in your dressing room.
I don't know. But at some point, too, I think Woodcroft has to be the coach. And Tyler brought up a good point of what Derek Ryan said when Woodcroft took over. It's like, now we feel whatever he said.
We all feel like we're in the same
thing. And right now, it feels like we're back to the Tippett era.
Doesn't feel like that at all.
The bottom six plays 6.5 minutes and the big guns play 24.
At the same point, though.
Is that how it went last night?
Holloway played 9.5 minutes.
9.5 minutes for a fourth line player is not a small amount of time.
He got elevated. He was just the one I made a poster on today. Yeah. Hamlin, did Benson play?
No.
No.
No, he didn't play last night.
So
what are they saying, Rick?
What's Amblin had four.
Connor played 23 and a half. Leon played 23. Nuge was next up at 22.
See, I don't like. I'm looking at this right now, and our ice time is not out to lunch.
It's not crazy.
You've got Hamblin at 4:43. You've got
last night is
5:56, and everyone else is within 2 seconds. Shore was 2 seconds away from 10 minutes. Everyone else is in double digits.
Maybe see, that's to me though, like
Devin Shore,
it almost makes sense.
Not enough time
to play the two or the guys that are actually scoring goals more than everyone else.
Nobody's scoring goals.
Well, that's my point. You have four guys playing or scoring goals. One of them didn't play last night. The next up is a guy who he hasn't played in a month and he's still fifth in goals. So if you had five goals right now after 26 games played, which no one does outside of those four guys up top, you're on pace for a 15-goal season. That's not a lot of goals, really.
No, that's right where you want your bottom nine to be, your middle
no
six.
No one's close.
No. This team is not... like the top guys are still carrying this team.
So we can talk about underlying numbers and shit all you want, and I love those too. Mm-hmm. But the numbers that matter is goals on the board.
And we're not getting them.
Nobody's getting any of them.
Except Anaheim,
four guys.
The Anaheim Ducks have a points percentage of .288 this season. Guess how many players they have with more than five goals?
Go ahead.
Christ, I don't want
four. I'm leaving. The same amount as the freaking Oilers. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing because there's a guy, like I said, Kane is fifth on that list. He hasn't played in a month.
This might rub some people the wrong way. I get he may be an analytics darling. If I have to watch Jesse Puljujärvi fall down when he gets a scoring chance or chip the puck to the opposing team's defenseman instead of just dumping it in one more time, I'm going to lose it. He, like, I understand being in a slump and all of that. He falls down every third or fourth scoring chance he gets. He falls down. You can't play in an NHL top six if you're doing that.
I'd like to argue, but there's not much you can argue. I think there's a 5-6 guys that are doing all the same thing, and they're just... and I still believe in the fact that, like, you're trying too hard, you're gripping your stick, whatever analogy you want to use.
Sure, all that. Confidence
when you're
matters.
Trying too hard... Yep. That's what they're doing right now. But I mean, I can't even say that. Like when he had the puck on his little partial breakaway and couldn't get a shot on net. And like for him, I just want that specific player. I want him to go stand in front of the fucking net because he's a giant and it's hard to move him from there. I need him to get a little more angry. I need him to get a little more emotional. But there's a bunch of guys that like it. I mean, before Yam got hurt, dude doesn't have a goal yet, does he?
Nope. 3 points so far. 14 games.
Yeah, and Yam looked like he was, you know, and there were a couple times where Yam fell over, and now we got Janmark playing in the top six, who's definitely not a top six player.
At least he's got a goal.
He's on the ice for both goals yesterday too.
Was he? Great yeah, screen on the Gulak goal.
I'd be looking at putting Holloway in that spot.
Yeah.
Just for change of scenery, change of but you got to tell him go out there and be aggressive, and I want shots on goal. He had a great 2-on-1 with Malone, I think, and then ditched off to Malone, who took a one-timer from the high slot.
Yes.
That's probably not where you want to go. I watched the replay a couple times, and the defenseman was just starting to go over towards Holloway. But, I mean, you got a right-handed goaltender, right, or left, whatever you want to say, the Grand Fury-style goalie. Go bar down on the glove.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're shooting. Beat him on the glove. Be aggressive. Go out there and grab the fucking goal.
How would you line up tomorrow?
I'm splitting Connor and Leon.
Yep.
I'm going three. I'm going McDavid, Dry, Nuge. Spread it out.
And I'm going pairs. Yeah. So you're gonna try to let up two guys here, two guys there, two guys there, and then sprinkle in the helpers instead of having a whole line of helpers.
I'm going 11-7. I like the idea of rolling Connor or Leon through extra shifts when possible.
But are you doing that against Arizona? Or is Arizona a good game to go 12-6, tell them to go out there and fucking figure their shit out, and if you have to go 11-7, you do it against a better team like Minnesota?
Yeah, maybe. I just want to win games.
I agree with you. So I'm going 11-6, or I'm going 12-6 tomorrow.
11-6.
Yeah, 11-6. We're just taking a spot off.
Three goalies.
Going back to your point, though, Rick, like one thing I'd love for the bottom six is they're playing too cute by half right now. Like with guys like Connor and Leon, when they're on a 2-on-1, expect the pass, expect it to work.
Yeah, they showed a little montage of 2-on-1s between Connor and Leon.
Those two, no problem. Do whatever you guys want. That. I got no issue with you.
You do you, boo.
But for everyone else, stop it. Stop trying to force passes through because they all see it coming. hit a, what? Why don't the Oilers ever do that thing where the guy carrying the puck on an odd man rush rips a low shot off the pads and somebody's driving towards the crease? Oh. That does not happen on this team.
No. And I think like it happened Montreal. In the playoffs like once or twice last year. I remember, yeah.
Montreal literally scored a goal like that against us on Saturday.
They don't, they're playing too cute by half. Simplify it. You got to dumb this down, baby. Nobody's scoring. It's, Connor, Leon, do whatever they want to do.
I've been saying this for weeks. They need to simplify their game right now.
Cody Ceci yesterday in the first period, I'm sure you guys will remember this. He had that chance right just around the faceoff circle, right, where he could have ripped one.
Yep.
He has, including the playoffs, 7 goals in an Oilers jersey. I think they have all come from that exact same spot. And yesterday he had the look. And he tried to like seam it perfectly short side to McDavid. Shoot, and I was like, dude,
shoot the puck, man.
It's Charlie Lindgren.
I hate the
Wayne Gretzky
guys,
literally has a quote about situations like this.
Michael Scott.
Michael Scott stole it and Bag Milk stole it from him.
Someone's got to put that on the board, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is it word association yet?
Well, it could be. For our friends at Soho.
Basket full of words over here.
For our friends at Soho, go check them out. SohoYEG.com. That is the website. They have got some game day specials, live music. You know, you have a good time there. I've had a good time there. The pizza, legit. Everything you want, that is where you need to be. It's right on Jasper Ave. SohoYEG.com. Tyler, mm-hmm. How many words you got for us today?
4.
Oh, I can't wait. It's everybody's favorite segment. Let's go.
What?
Variety. What's our order?
Liam, Bagged Milk, Dan, me, then Rick. I always go last. Yeah, I feel like it's unfair.
Let me sit up for this one.
Yeah, get ready. Prepare yourself.
Dial it in, folks.
Mm-hmm. For our friends at
Soho,
one
more time, Tyler.
Tyler's signature segment, word association.
Mm-hmm.
You're after Bagged Milk, Dan.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're 3.
Yeah.
All right.
The nickname Mick Power Play.
Jealous.
I don't even know. What's the context?
People call McDavid McPowerplay because he only scores on the power play and not 5-on-5.
Or he's just very good at it. Dumb.
Dan.
McSelfish.
Unnecessary.
Stupid.
Stupid. That's a good one. The Oilers in the first period.
Stupid.
Meh.
Vomit.
Sleepy.
The penalty kill.
Shit.
Yeah!
Horror awful.
Oh, damn. I was going to do horror awful. Rick?
What was yours then?
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of one. Show game. How do you not
automatics.
Ooh, the reverse automatic.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting. It's terrifying, but they're over-aggressive.
Terrifying.
All hyphenated.
This one comes from Oilers Nation every day. Favorite dessert.
Cheesecake.
Ooh, I like that. Candy.
Dan.
Banana muffin or cake.
Strawberry shortcake.
The apple pie. The character.
Apple pie?
Yeah.
There you go.
Just that's a classic, eh?
Not one word.
Yeah, man. A la mode. Apple pie a la mode.
Oh, my nice. Apologies. Absolutely.
Strawberry all hyphenated.
I got a big slice of it sitting in the fridge at home. It's been on my mind.
I might have to grab some cheesecake actually when I get home.
What's your flavor?
I'm easy breezy. I like a good plain.
Just a New York style?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the cheesecake.
But also, respect. I mentioned this today on the other show. Have you guys had the Italian donuts from Joey's?
Oh. No.
This is Joey or Joey's Seafood? Anyone who works at Joey is going to be upset if you're calling them Joey's.
Joey.
All right, that's better.
Like Joey Tribbiani.
Joey Bell Tower.
The Italian donuts with macaron. I don't know what the dip's called. It begins with M. It might
have mascarpone.
Mascarpone, yeah.
Mascarpone?
Yep, that one.
Mascarpone.
A little extra.
Or lithographs, as Tyler calls it.
Could I eat the full buffet and you still find room for those donuts?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Not a sweets guy.
Unbelievable. I'm not really a big sweets guy either, but I'll murder candy all day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so, you know,
if Tyler had a bag of Sour Patch Kids, I'd be eyeballing him until he shared with me.
Don't leave me around chips, especially like corn chips or something like that, Doritos. But other than that, I'm pretty.
Were we recording when I talked about stress eating like a whole fucking thing of salsa yesterday?
We weren't recording.
No.
No.
And also, I was so annoyed with that game.
Tyler's idea of the salsa on record too. So
yeah. Yeah.
What was it? What, how do you consume chips and salsa?
It was just an idea. It's not not saying I've done it. Go ahead. You were talking about how you don't want to get your hand all in the salsa jar. So if
I'm not a caveman. I put it in a bowl.
So just take your bag of chips, take the jar of salsa, just dump the jar of salsa in the bag of chips and shake it up.
And shake it now, but when you're done, lay it down lengthwise.
Cut it open.
Cut the top off. So now you're just attacking it like.
Ooh. Yeah, and then.
Melt some cheese on it.
Yeah.
See, you're basically just talking about a taco in a bag, really.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now we've opened it up. Not just a plate of nachos sitting on a fucking chip bag.
I'd just be so worried about them being just soggy and gross.
They would be.
Oh, not well, being able not, to
yeah, I mean, you're crushing them all at once, yeah, right?
Eat them quick.
He's mashing it in at like to like a pâté or something.
Oh, buddy.
Food processor.
Yeah. Yeah, the bottom end was all crunchy. And
throw it in a camel back, suck it back like a drink.
Spoon.
Walking around everywhere.
It's too much flavor.
I'm flipping the... I'm doing my own word association.
Ooh, like good. Some help.
What is the worst sweet or dessert? What is the worst?
Oh, the
That's
worst.
That's really easy.
Then go ahead, Rick.
Well, the worst like candy is black licorice, hands down, not even close.
Yeah. Jelly.
Like Jell-O jelly?
Yeah, jelly.
I just ate a whole thing of Jell-O yesterday. Oh,
the Jell-O?
The texture is outrageous. The people who do Jell-O shots make me sick, to be honest. Like, I think they're absolutely disgusting.
There's got to be a fucking texture that's close to it that...
I love Jell-O.
No,
I love Jell-O.
I don't eat a lot of it, but I got nothing.
Jell-O shots at the holiday party for Liam. I legitimately
ate Jell-O 2 days ago.
You know what? Here's a hot take. Rice Krispie squares.
What?
They're chalky.
What?
Chalky?
What's wrong with you?
A fresh Rice Krispie square? Like right out of the oven.
It's not. It's overrated. It's not terrible, but it's overrated.
If you're going to take one, you get like nuke it or put it in the oven for a bit, like activate that marshmallowy thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little heat on the Rice Krispies, you'll be okay.
Dan, what is the worst or most overrated dessert?
Jujubes. I've always hated Jujubes. Just can't get on board.
Like, because then you're just talking texture, right? Because they come in all
flavors. Yeah. But it's the straight up like the brand Jujube.
Yep, 100%.
The red one, like the cherry, is way better than black licorice.
It's all the flavors in Jujubes is trash. Every flavor is garbage. It's just a different type of garbage.
You just reminded me, Rick, that of course it's Waz that loves black licorice.
That's not surprising.
No. Yeah.
That's gross, man.
My dad used to get like black licorice syrup to make milkshakes with, and it made his teeth black. It was weird.
Why would he do that to himself?
He loves black licorice. Old, it's an old person flavor, I think.
Oof. Speaking of old people flavors, the worst candy / dessert / sweet of all times, candy corn. I still don't understand where they make it.
Yeah, candy corn sucks.
It's awful.
I actually don't mind black licorice, so maybe it's very big in England.
Are you a big Zambuca guy?
I don't mind Zambuca.
I don't mind Zambuca either.
Well, I was going to say, if you don't minds have to be the exact same here. Because they're the exact same fucking flavor.
What just this side of paint Zambuca. Thinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like a black licorice candy sits and like you gotta chew it. A shot's just standing, bing down.
Oh, that vapors come back up. Yeah, you know, flavor in there. That
not if it's a Jell-O shot, right, Liam?
Situation, no problem. Before 100%,
I agree.
Not really a shots guy either.
Is that why you don't come out of the bar very often?
Do you know what? I can't go to the pint anymore, Rick. I see too many young hockey players that I know, and I just can't be around those
people. Your head scout duties getting in the way of partying.
Mm-hmm.
People. I've been in the back.
Sometimes that's where you do business, man. That's where you get your best intel.
No, I can't.
This is what happened in the 70s and 80s, man. Don't let it die in the 2020s.
Also, go. Maybe you'll run into an Oiler there and be like, hey, would you like to play for the crew?
They already had one once.
Now, just since we're on the topic of kind of like food, sweets, Christmas stuff, my question this week for Better Late Than Never, I want to ask you guys, what is the worst part about the Christmas season?
The end.
Oh, I like that answer. Just you're having too much fun and you're sad when it's over.
Yeah, my Christmas spirit.
Some examples. Every weekend is generally tied up with some kind of function. The weather, Christmas music, buying people presents, all kinds of stuff.
The FIS
in.
Snowboard Big Air World Cup presented by Toyota.
Well, I had a date for that, but canceled on me for a Christmas party that is happening 6 weeks ahead of Christmas.
But you just said that every week.
Oh, that wasn't my answer.
Canceled your date. That's been going on for good.
We've only been talking about it for 2 months.
6 weeks probably. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Killed your, trying to kill your post-game show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
was duped into thinking I forgot his birthday yesterday.
Oh, yeah, man. So behind the scenes, Tyler was texting literally everyone he knows to find out if it was my birthday. Because Danger Suede made a Photoshop saying that Tyler killed me on my birthday and put yesterday's date as it. So then Frank Saravalli saw that post and was like, is it actually Bag Milk's birthday? I don't think it is. So then he texts Tyler. Tyler's like, no, I don't think so. And then you text Jay, Wanye. Who else
was on the list? No, I didn't text Wanye. I just texted Jay and Frank about it. And I was like, oh my God, it's his birthday. And then I made a joke on Real Life that I felt bad about yesterday where I said like, oh, people like you less through your 30s. And then you were mad and I thought you were mad about that. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot his birthday. And then I made that shitty joke about how people like you less in your 30s. And that was mean. And I did the Beatcast thing. And I canceled on the FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup presented by Toyota. And I was like, fuck, I am a piece of shit. I legitimately was sitting in my seat, not even paying attention to the game. I was just like feeling bad about my...
The best part was like, Jay's like, Tyler's asking if it's your birthday. What do I say? I'm like, of course you tell him it's my birthday.
So then also Jay earlier in that day when he was here was like, oh, I got a bottle of wine for Bag Milk because he gave me a bottle of wine. So I'm giving him one back. So when I texted Jay and was like, is it actually Bag Milk's birthday? He goes, yeah. Why do you think I bought him the bottle of wine? I was like, no. Fuck.
Dan, what's the worst part about Christmas season?
Well, I mean, it sounds mean, but it's the gifts, like the consumerism around Christmas, the needing to feel like you have to give a gift to everybody instead of, you know, the way it used to be or the way it was when we were younger, when it was like making shit for each other.
That's why Thanksgiving is the supreme holiday. You get all the food, you get all the action. We don't got to buy anybody.
And it happens, I think, when you get a little older, obviously, or when you don't have like younger kids in the family. But like, I know people who are like, yeah, we just don't do gifts anymore. We sat down and we all said the same thing that you said, Dan, like these people I know. And they're like, oh, this is stressful. We all have grown up jobs. We can just buy our own stuff if we want it. This is unnecessary. And now they just treat Christmas like Thanksgiving.
I love gift exchanges, though.
I do, too.
If you get, like, a $20 limit and you got to be creative with it, I love it. It's so much fun.
Those are different, though. Those are different. Those are where you can have some fun.
I got a fantastic gift last year. Would you like to hear about it?
I would like to hear about it.
So this one actually brought a bit of a tear to my eye. This seems like it's going to be a joke.
Could you imagine if we were just like, no, Liam, we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, we just ended the podcast.
So last Christmas was my first Christmas with my girlfriend and her family. So
congratulations.
Thank you. We've been dating for a while. So anyway, this is the first one.
Oh, sorry about the other Christmases.
Never mind. So they get into Christmas and they really like to kind of one-up each other. And last Christmas, my girlfriend's sister got me an ugly Christmas sweater from England of my favorite soccer team that she ordered from the club shop.
Oh, that's nice.
Barnsley.
An incredible
Barnsley FC, right?
But no, Dan, it's not Barnsley FC. So now this year, I've been trying to think of something to up it, and I just can't think of anything.
It's a dangerous game. I say treat it like a disappointment band-aid. Get a terrible gift this year. Set the bar super low. Because what happens if you one-up her this year, then what, next year you got to one-up that?
No, but then next year she'll one-up me and I'll get a better gift.
You just give her like Tyler, a box of COVID tests or something, just like, hey, be safe in 2023. Tyler,
but actually...
just got his Christmas privileges back. Why are you trying to get them removed from him again?
What was the question? The worst part about Christmas?
Yeah.
When it starts too early.
Like when you have a date to the FIS Big Air Snowboard and there's a Christmas party?
Oh, yeah. November, like, so
November 1st and the decorations come out and you hear for the first time Mariah Carey.
My Christmas decorations this year went up on November 12th and I did not like it. Not a fan of it. I didn't put them up.
What did that conversation look like? What was the back and forth between you and the missus?
We're not doing it. Yes, and we are.
How'd that go?
And eventually it just got so there all the time.
Lights up on the fish tank there?
I have a light on my fish tank.
But no, you have like Christmas lights on there, no?
No, I have a little Ricky the Reindeer in my office, and that's about all I got. That's all I have.
I did late November Christmas lights, but the fun part about it was that I also had like 4 or 5 rum and eggnogs while I was doing it.
Yeah, mine just got put up, and I got home and they were there.
That's one of my favorite parts of the Christmas season is that like putting up the lights, have a drink, wrapping presents, have a drink.
Yeah.
It's Monday, have a drink.
Yeah. It's like... actually, I got those candy cane lights that you were supposed to put outside, but I got them last week and I got freezing. Mm-hmm. So now I can't put them in the ground.
Well, this,
this is kind of why some people do start putting things up in like November, I think.
It's the outdoor stuff is fine.
Trying to avoid the weather.
I recommend, Liam, just leaving them up all year. You flash those babies on in April if you want.
Yeah.
It's my best day in April.
I do really want to get
celebrations.
Candy
April,
season.
Easter. April 5th, I know.
It is not. That's nice try, though.
I thought it was March.
Nah.
Mine's April every year.
Mine too, same. Hasn't moved.
April 3rd.
Hasn't moved. Yeah, you even looked last night as you were trying to confirm my birthday was not December 10th. Mark Zuckerberg spoiled my fun once again.
My friend doesn't put his birthday on Facebook, and I forget it every single year.
Yeah.
But I always get an alert being like, it's blah, blah's birthday today. And I always text him every year, like, happy birthday, because he changes it also. So it's never like the same month. So he's like, oh, I must have changed it to the right one. Gets me every time.
I have a friend that does that too. He loves nothing more than having a birthday once per quarter.
Yeah.
Just like gets the messages. He's like, thank you, I did it.
I still get emails from a website called birthdayreminders.com, which was before Facebook. You had to put it into a website and have that website email you. And so I get emails every once in a while about people that I went to like high school with or just graduated and met kind of thing.
Do you still call for the time as well, Dan?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Just see what movies are on.
Yep. I want to touch really quickly before we wrap up the podcast. We mentioned Canada Snowboard a couple of times, but I want to mention tomorrow's game against the Coyotes. Just what do you expect from the Oilers? But first, the style experience of the FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup happening on Saturday at Commonwealth Stadium. If you've seen the ramp, it looks cool as hell. Experience world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here at Edmonton with a heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders go head-to-head at the largest stadium big air contest Canada has ever seen. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster, or I've got an extra. Either way.
He's on his phone. He missed that part.
I just know I'm...
What am I expecting? That was a question, correct? I am
expecting... Yeah, tomorrow... So the Coyotes... Obviously, that's a must-win game.
You need to not just beat them. You need to, like, beat the wheels off them.
They're on a 14-game road trip. This is the last game of a 14-game road trip. These guys should be just...
gassed.
Exhausted. Yeah. Just want to go home. They don't have a home, I suppose, so they whatever. just an effort. That's all I want. Obviously, I want to win, but just, like, show me that you give a shit about this team right now. So what I'm asking
for. I'm excited if they move to Tempe, they can now be the temporary Coyotes, right? The Temp Coyotes. Huh? There we go.
Dan, what about the game here in Edmonton tomorrow? What are you expecting?
I mean, frig, I'm expecting an effort, but at the same time, we've seen what this team is delivering right now with the injuries that they have. I'm sick and tired of having to keep saying that over and over again. But yeah, I just want to see a good effort. I want to see five shots before McDavid and Draisaitl get on the ice.
I want to make it through the first period where the Oilers are not being outshot. My expectations are ground level right now. And that's pretty sad considering the Coyotes are terrible.
Don't get outshot by the Coyotes.
That's rough. That's rough, but like you can't tell me that isn't like an actual to-do thing on the list for tomorrow.
It is.
Like I don't know how many games in a row they've been outshot now, but it's way too many. Way too many. I want to hear from you.
We're going back to basics.
Back to basics, Scotty.
What you want and what you expect, I think, are two different things.
I'm expecting them to outshoot the Coyotes.
Like, what was the game we said a couple weeks ago where you're like, they got to beat the wheels off them, and then they let them catch up in the third?
Chicago.
Was that Chicago? Yeah, so that's what I'm expecting to see. But what I want to see is the beginning of the third period of that Chicago game when we were up fucking 4-1, and I want to see them get to 5-1 and 6-1 and kind of just say... show what they can do, but I expect them to play a level game and just kind of do what they do.
Question for you guys. Super Stu tomorrow. Skinner was fantastic last night. It's almost
Stu.
It's got to be Soup. Stu. It's such an absolute layup to go with Soup tomorrow. Skinner got overworked against Washington, and this is the worst team on the schedule coming up. End of a 40-game trip. You got to go Campbell. If Campbell can't succeed tomorrow, boy.
He had a lot of... a lot of work, but I only got overworked.
Campbell.
Dan?
It's Campbell. You think that they should go back to Stu at all?
Yeah.
But you can't just play Stu every game. Like, you need a spot to go to Campbell at some point. I don't want it to be against Mini again, so I go Arizona.
I think this is a game we've been waiting for Campbell to have for a while.
Can you sit there and say, this is what we've been waiting on this, we're waiting on this? What happens if right now Stu's just your number one right now?
Then what
I'm not willing to sacrifice another game.
Don't no, no, no. Don't start your number one against shit teams. Rest your number one against shit teams.
But there's also that theory where you start your number one against a shit team, so you guarantee that win. Well, as quote-unquote
guarantee. And I get that, but I just, you need to get Campbell back in at some point.
It's Wednesday, Friday, Monday.
Yep.
I will.
So I go Skinner on 1 and 3 and Soup in the middle.
Like Calgary went with Ladar last night, and then Vancouver went with Martin the other night too.
Because Demko's hurt.
6 in overtime.
No, I mean against Arizona.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you could argue Ladar's their starter.
True. That's true.
I think I go with Soup tomorrow. He's got to play at some point, and I would rather have Skinner in against Minnesota. And
Friday.
Okay, what was Campbell's last start?
Honestly, at this point, man, you gotta put your best lineup out there.
I think
Stu's in your best lineup.
I think Campbell's been fine recently. Minnesota was obviously not great. He was decent against the Islanders, and he was good against. He was okay against the Rangers. So in two of
in the last three games, he's been bad, average, and okay.
Perfect. The team's been bad.
What's wrong with that?
That's what we get with Soup right now. That's just what it is, and that's why I think you have to go back to Arizona.
Tomorrow's a good chance for him to build up some positive momentum.
Get a little confidence, if you will.
Yeah, get a little swagger.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up episode 295 million, Liam?
Go Oilers, go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I want to thank our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Tourism, Jasper, Soho, and Canada Snowboard for making it all possible, and most importantly, you for welcoming us into your ear holes. Have a great rest of the week, everybody.
Shout out Chris the intern.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.